Good morning. We have, if you have school age kids, the nursery is open. Our preschool room is open straight through there, and then kindergarten through sixth. We've got Sunday school this morning, so if you have kids that want to take advantage of that, just encourage them to dismiss this morning. We are continuing or kind of drawing some lines to some dots this morning. We're teaching through the book of Acts. We paused that there towards the end of chapter 9, right after Saul's conversion, and he began to spend time with the disciples. And we kept repeating and finding this in Acts where it said they were together and the Lord added to their number daily. And so we paused and we've taken 3-4 different weeks looking at the purpose of the church. And so we figured that's a great time to do that. We're studying. We just spent time studying and continue to see this picture of the New Testament church after Christ's ascension. And so why are we here? Why did he create? Because God did create the church to carry on. And we'll get to that. But he's given us a commission. And so we'll get to that this morning. And so as we connect these dots, there's going to be a bunch of scripture that we're going to look at on the front end of this. So typically we'll stand as we read through God's word because of the length and the amount that we're going to be looking at this morning. I'm going to offer this instead. Let's stand as a body of believers and let's pray to open our teaching time together, and then we'll jump into it. If you are able, I just ask you to stand with us. Heavenly Father, God, as we open your word, God, we just pray that you would speak, that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct this message that we've been praying over, that we've been seeking you, God, that you would continue to give us understanding each and every day that we seek you. And this morning as we open your word, we just ask that same thing, that you give us understanding and wisdom, discernment, and guide and direct this message specifically, and guide your church here at Harvest. And we just pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. So one of this kind of recurring term or thought that we have been on is purpose. And purpose is why do we do what we do? What is the purpose? And so I want to take you on just a brief journey to kind of set us, because this is where I went in my mind and where God led me as I was thinking about this message and preparing and looking at this. I immediately went, as I started thinking about God, immediately went to Genesis 1. And so again, I want you to just kind of, if you've got a Bible, if you want to open it, it's in the front. And you want to follow along, if you want to just listen, that is great as well. But in Genesis 1, God was and always had been and always will be. That in and of itself is kind of hard to wrap our human minds around. But God always was. And now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Can you imagine the power out of complete and utter vacuum and darkness? He says, "Let there be light." And there was. God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning. And that was the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. And let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds, and fruit-bearing trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, including poison ivy, unfortunately. Plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, and each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was an evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be light, let be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. Can you imagine an empty ocean? The ocean as we know it today, and we don't even comprehend or understand everything that is within the ocean. And it was utterly and completely empty. And he said, let there be life. And every cell, every creature, every bacteria, everything that we now know and don't know that's in the ocean came to be. Can you imagine that? Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every little living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creeping things, beasts of the earth according to their kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and to the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps. That's a lot of creep. Creeping things creeping. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. We come to this understanding of our world just only as we know it, not to mention the expanse well beyond our universe. But we have this account of God creating earth here. And we the detail and the amount that we could sit and never be able to grasp, the power, the majesty, the power that God has. And so then we come to us. And he created each and every one of us. And we see in Scripture, he knows the hairs on our head. He knows our story and all things about us. And ultimately, we continue to read in Genesis and we come to an understanding of our human nature, this fallen and sinful human nature through events there in the garden. And so as we come now, I want to share this gospel message, because I think it's important to understand who God is in this unbelievably amazing creation story, but then look at the gospel message. And I'm going to share specifically through Romans. There's several passages that you can go through Romans and lay out the basics of the gospel message. In Romans 1:20-21, for since the creation that we were just talking about, the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so we have to acknowledge God as the creator of everything and accept this humble position in God's creation. And God, Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So then we must realize that we're all sinners, that we need forgiveness. And not forgiveness from one another, forgiveness from our Heavenly Father. We're not worthy of God's grace. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Through Jesus, God gave us a way to be saved from our sins. God showed us his love by giving us the potential for life through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we remain sinners, we will die eternal death. But if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and repent of our sins, turn our lives, repent means to turn, we will have eternal life. Romans 10:9-10 tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13, and finally Romans 11:36, for him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And so I would urge you to determine in your heart to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life if you haven't already. Romans 3, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We were made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead, including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, For he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in the sight when they believe in Jesus. That's Romans 3, 21 through 26. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 12 tells us, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone. Nathaniel taught on that as we looked, and we were looking at this dynamic of worship. He talked about the cornerstone and the capstone. And we see in 1 Peter says, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple? He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the meditation, the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Did you catch that? You are his holy priests. You are the living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. You are his holy priests. As the scripture says, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust in him recognize the honor God has given him, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others a goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. And he ends in verse 11 and 12. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, that even if they accuse you of doing wrong, that they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. So we see this account of creation and understand this unbelievable power and majesty of who God is. We come into this understanding of our fallen nature and the need of a Savior, and that Savior being given to us in Jesus Christ. And we get in the end of the book, as we know, the scriptures as we have it in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it tells us in chapter 7, 9 through 17. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, and they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings, and they fell before the throne and their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. When one of the 24 elders asked me, who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you are the one who knows. Then he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun, for the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. We get this glimpse of God on his throne. And we just read where he created the expanse and called it heaven. And now we have this picture of that. So in light of those passages, in light of those scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, in light of all of that, we have these teachings of Jesus that we see in the Gospels, recorded in the Gospel. And specifically those teachings to those around him, the healings, the different miracles, the different signs and wonders that were given. He teaches those around him. He teaches specifically the disciples, the apostles that were with him. And in Mark 12, 30-32, Jesus is being questioned, and he says, "And you must," he's asked about the greatest commandment. He says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." So love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Matthew 28, 18 and 20, the gospel writers, and specifically Matthew, captures the most complete words from Christ giving us this commission to be lived out. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." All authority given to him. "And therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So throughout all of his teachings, Christ specifically gives us this greatest of all commandments, and then this commission to carry on after the ascension. And we are assured that he will return. Scripture tells us that. Old Testament prophets tell us, the New Testament writers tell us, Jesus specifically told us, he will return. So we've got a time span from now, this moment, to fill till he returns. And so what does that look like being lived out? Well, we saw as we were reading through Acts and studying through Acts a passage in chapter 2 that gives us a snapshot of the New Testament church as those believers came together. In 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And so what we see being lived out is the foundation of what the church is called to. And that's what we've spent the last 3 to 4 weeks looking at. What the church is called to. And we looked at worship, worshiping our Father Creator, devoting our lives to Him. Remember, we talked about that bad word, or it has come to be a bad word, but it's commitment several weeks back. We talked about it is not a passing fad. It's not a casual suggestion or a sure, yeah, that sounds good. This we are called, if we place our faith in Christ and come to an understanding of who he is, we are called to devote our lives to him, to worship him. That can come through song, that can come through being in his word, through reading, through prayer, through the care of others. We say a lot of times it's a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of looking through that lens of who God is and how does that impact how I do daily tasks in my life. That's worship. Fellowship. We see in this, in our passage in Acts, we see this fellowship, this ever-deepening relationship with other believers, this doing life together in community with one another. I say many times, laughing together and crying together. It's when we gather on first Sundays for a meal, when we gather together to camp, to come together for coffee. It's why we have so much trouble settling down for service. Because of fellowship. We see a dynamic discipleship, which is simply growing more and more like Christ. Looking at the attributes of Christ and the teachings of him and beginning to apply them to ourselves. This maturing in our faith. Not just saying, yes, Christ is my Lord and Savior, and then staying the same. Absolutely, being Christ-like always and growing in that. It's also a dynamic of teaching and being taught. So it's not always just a pouring in, there's also a pouring out. Dynamic of that. We see ministry in that passage, and we taught on that. That love your neighbor as yourself. It's serving those around you, believers or non-believers. It's using your God-given gifts and talents to further his kingdom. We see scripture talking about being the hands and feet. And then lastly is sharing our faith. This evangelism piece, this sharing who Christ is, that we see in Scripture who he is to us, who he's become, what he's rescued us out of, this new life, this new creation that he's made us. And it's sharing that message with this lost and broken world. Not starts in our home, it starts then in our community, our region, our country, and ultimately our world. And so then we take all of this and distill it down and begin to draw some lines and connecting some dots, and we look at where we are here at Harvest. And so you start with a vision, and you hear a lot of times vision, mission, purpose, that type of thing. We know we've just talked about our purpose, why we do what we do. The God creator, his infinite power and majesty, this unbelievable gift of grace and mercy and love that's poured out on us if we place our faith in him, and we did nothing to deserve that because we are fallen without him. Our wages of our sin is death, but he paid the price for us. That is what drives us. That is our purpose of why we're here this morning. So then we look at this vision, the what piece, what we long to see. And it's been established. It's not changing. It's here. A fabric of who Harvest is engulfing the community with the love of Christ. That's what we long to see. That is that outcome that we want. Because if we're showing love and our community is reciprocating love, Christ's love, then all those things fall into place. So then with that vision, the what we long to see, then you have mission. How are you going to do it? Well, through our study the last several weeks, we look at this and it becomes very obvious in reading through that there are the dynamics of those five in love, by loving Jesus Christ, loving Him, loving God, growing together, that discipleship and fellowship piece, and serving others. So you have this vision, engulf the community with the love of Christ, how? Through loving Him, growing together, and serving others. So you have the what, we have the why, we have the what and the how. So really we see our vision and mission being one cohesive phrase. Engulf the community with the love of Jesus Christ through loving Him, growing together, and serving others. That love piece is this worship. We talked several weeks back about being an Acts 2 church. And at that time, Nathaniel had shared several passages out of Romans 12, which gives this very, very beautiful picture of following Christ and what's that look like in a Christ-filled life. So he said, being an Acts 2 church, living a Romans 12 life. It's this idea of Him and Him alone. The grow piece, this discipleship, my walk. It's this idea, it's been said here before and will continue, of being one, a disciple, and making one. There's the taking in and giving out piece. And then also fellowship, the relationships. This being a family for everyone. Some may come from a broken biological family or have a traditional or non-traditional family. But in our faith family here in Harvest, in the church, this is a family for everyone, and everyone has a place. So then when we talk about serving, we encompass the evangelism, my witness. This idea to know Christ and to make Him known. To know Christ and to make Him known. And then also my work, my ministry. We're told in Scripture we're given gifts and talents, spiritual gifts from the Father to further His kingdom, again, to be His hand and feet. So we're literally built to serve. And we serve to build up His kingdom. So I know we've spent the past 4 weeks purposefully looking at this so we have a clear understanding of why the church is here, and it's the Great Commission. It's to go. It's to make disciples. It's to share the gospel. It's to minister to one another. It's to fellowship with one another, to sharpen one another. It's to equip, to be sent out, both in our community and the mission field. And so when you have all of that, then you have the what, the why, the what, the how. It's best to have a plan. Because all that sounds great, but if you don't have some initial steps, let's say, to start in that direction, then it kind of becomes all for naught. And so as the leadership has come together and has met, we've continually talked about commitment and being a part. And so I want to let you know that the elders and those that have been coming together are committed, as we've talked through this and prayed through this and brainstormed through this and continued to pray over this, that we see this as the foundation of the direction that we're going, of this being the core, this up in and out, up to the Father, in growing together, out serving others, as the foundation of who we are. And so when you start to unroll that plan, right now, let the elders stand up a minute. So right now there are the three of us, Shorty, and you guys hesitated actually for a second. I don't know. That's out of a humble posture or concern. But I can tell you that these men are committed to this church. I'm committed to this family, this faith family. And so we come to a point where, as we head down this road, and next week we will begin to teach through the book of, pick back up our study in the book of Acts. But this foundation of who we are will be communicated, and communicated well, and communicated often, and communicated indefinitely. And so, with that commitment from your leaders, then you have to figure out if you're committed. If you're committed to Christ, first and foremost. If you're committed to the church, big picture, large church, universal church, and see why God created it. And then you come to a point where you assess your commitment to the local church. And we understand that the local church, there's probably five or six churches that way, probably two dozen churches that way, multiple churches in every direction. As a matter of fact, I think we're one of the most densely populated church counties in Indiana, I would say. But each church has a unique piece of the puzzle. God created individuals uniquely. They gather together, and so we will be able to serve and be a church in this up in and out dynamic, in loving Him and growing together and serving others in a way that's unique to the eight churches down the street or the four churches this way. So you have to come to a point of being committed to a local church, and we see Scripture calling us to be a part of a local body of believers. So I just think it would be a good thing, and if you want, continue to have, this is not a pressure thing. This is I just feel strongly, actually we've talked about this with leadership, if you are continuing to determine and figure out where God's calling you to be committed to as a local church, I would ask you to stay seated. But if you are through this, and we're going to talk about the specific ways that we're going to begin this direction, but if you call or see Harvest as your home church, and you feel strongly that you want to be committed to this body of believers, I just ask you to stand up in affirmation of that commitment. And again, it's not a pressure thing. It's just, there's something about being noted, being numbered, and standing together. I just want to pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, God, we come together. God, we are on a journey seeking You and, God, Your direction. And so I just ask, and we read in Scripture about how You, when things are focused on You, unity is the natural output. And so I would just pray for unity in this body. We just acknowledge the direction and the gifts that You have given us and that You're calling for this church. And God, we just continue to pray that You would give us new and creative ways to reach those in our community, to share Your message, and God, to engulf this community with the love of Christ. And God, we just pray these things in Your name. Amen. Thank You. You may be seated. So if we break this plan, kind of this strategy or these steps, and this is not a done and complete. These are some concrete things that we want to begin or continue. And as God continues to guide and direct, then we can add or take away. But we look at this loving Him. As we're loving Him, this up dynamic, we want to be, one, thoughtful and meaningful in this corporate worship service. We want to continue to share the gospel message each and every Sunday, to give opportunity for those that want to respond to that. We want to teach through this book, through the Bible. We will continue that in our study in the book of Acts. In loving Him, in this being worshipful, something that struck me as being in the Word, in continually and consistently reading through His Scripture. We have available, there's some up front, some back by the coffee shop. Maybe you're like, you start to freeze up when you start thinking about, I'm going to read the Bible. And you're like, I don't know where to start, I don't know when, I don't know how. Well, it'll take you 365 days to read through the entire Bible if all you do is this one thing here, and then this one thing here, And this, and you can put, if you're a check mark, like a check mark person, this is going to be your greatest. You've got 365 things you can check off, one each day. Yep, did that. So today, let's say you took this and you want to say, I want to be in the Word. I'm going to take this, stick it on the fridge, fold it, stick it in your Bible. If you started today, you're going to read Genesis 1, which we've read a good chunk of that, Genesis 1 through 3, and Matthew 1. So this is a New Testament passage and Old Testament passage each day. Maybe you do the Old Testament in the morning and the New Testament at night. Maybe you just want to get that check mark on it. You read all of it all the way straight through. This is a tool that we want to continually make available, put on our website, Facebook, all that different things, just to be mindful of being in the Word. So this is something that we want to make available, a reading plan. If that style or that type is not your thing, I would encourage you to go online. There's tons of different, you can actually even in some of the Bible apps, if you use an app, they have reading plans in there. You can read through the Bible twice in a year, three times in a year. Max, I maybe do the half a year for me. No. Any pace whatsoever. The important thing is that you're in the Word, that you're reading the Word. And then we also, in this up dynamic, in some steps taken, we want to continually offer to pray and be prayed for. And so we always pray over those that want to be prayed for. We want to be willing to allow others to pray for us. So that's something, whether it be during our communion or after service or during service, we want to have opportunities and make a point to create those opportunities to continually pray for one another and pray for world peace. The lost, for world peace. It's why this cross is here. Each one of those papers written in there is something that's being prayed for. And it's been nailed up there as a reminder to continually lift it up. Many of you have nailed things to that. I would continue to encourage you, if there's something that you are praying over, an individual salvation, a situation, whatever that looks like, that you write it down and nail it to that. Because we've had opportunities where we've had individuals share the outcome of what that prayer was. So continually offer to pray and be prayed for. And so when we look at this growing together, this in, we want to continue our meals on Sunday, first Sunday of every month. We want to come together and share a meal together. We want to come to a point, and part of that was kind of visually represented when we stood in committing this being our home church. We see scripturally that there be church membership, that you simply just clear and simple decision of making Christ the center of your life and making Harvest your home church. So we will be getting that together, a way to be able to visually see what that looks like, of church membership, the expectations that we see in Scripture of someone that's a part of a church, and your commitment to making Harvest your church home. So that's going to be a concrete step that we'll be putting in effect. We begin discussion about discipleship groups on Sunday mornings. Before service, we don't have all the details or data, and we only want to move forward if we feel it's going to be something that's going to be engaging and people a part of. But we've talked about these discipleship groups coming to a group coming together on Sunday mornings. There were cards on your seat or a seat surrounding or by you, and I don't have one up here with me. There's a card, and it shows, I'd be interested in how to study your Bible, defending your faith, marriage relationships, parenting, finances, budgeting, spiritual gifts, book of the Bible study, a men's group, creation versus evolution, up in and out study, so diving deeper into worship and discipleship and that type of thing, how to share your faith. These are just kind of some real life things that are part of discipleship in that growth process. And there's been some interest in coming together and doing a six-week study on how to study your Bible. So we're reading it, but how do we study it? And so I would encourage you, as these cards are around at the end of communion or offering or at the end of service, to fill these out, and there's a basket back on the info table. If you already have, we've got several last week. I would just encourage you, if you are interested, to fill one of those out. That will help to guide and direct in decisions on how to proceed with giving opportunities to disciple, giving opportunities to grow and in our faith and mature. And then in growing together, a commitment here to engage young families and their children. During worship before Sunday school, before half the congregation heads through these two doors, it's not hard to see the amount of young life that we've been blessed with here, and the families that are here and raising their children. And so we see that just as an opportunity to be able to partner with families and so Harvest wants to commit to engage young families and their children. And we started that by creating unique areas for them to learn and be a part in the nursery and the preschool and hopefully in the future continue to create those spaces for them and different things to engage young families. So on the out, the serving others, I just encourage you to invite somebody to church. When is the last time that you invited someone to come with you or meet you on a Sunday morning? Whether it's somebody at work or somebody at school or somebody you saw out and about, somebody in your own family. We want to be all about inviting others along with us. A serving out that we want to continue and to capitalize on. We have two different functions that we do. VBS, the Vacation Bible School, has proved to be an unbelievable tool to be able to get to know some families within our neighborhood. And then share and be a part and get to know kids in the neighborhood as well. We also do a widow's banquet. Will be coming up in February. That's another great out of serving the community and those around us. And then we want to, in that vein, began to collect information of how we can serve inside and out. Here's something, and we'll close with this. There's this unique dynamic here at Harvest is it's unbelievable how many individuals serve outside of this building, which that's what it's about. It's not all about, I mean, we're called to serve in our local church and be a part in our local church, but more importantly, we're called to serve those outside of these walls. And it's amazing how many individuals that we don't even necessarily know how they minister outside of these walls. So we want to begin actively gathering that information. I mean, I feel like I know Jeff Frederick reasonably well. I call him a good friend. But I don't understand all the dynamics of who Jeff ministered to and what he does. I know at one time, maybe he still is, like, does jail ministry, and obviously we know that he goes all over the globe sharing the gospel and teaching and in churches. And I said, but Harvest is unique in the fact that we have so many that are doing different things, part of the Pregnancy Care Center, part of Powerhouse, part of these ministries and that ministry. Maybe it's not even a technical, formal ministry, but you go and you do this. We want to begin to gather that information so that we can take people along with us, right? Amen. Take people along with us. So my question is then, will you join us? Will you join us as we go from this place and we continue to see where God leads us? Will you join us as we start back our study in Acts, as we begin this direction? Will you join us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just praise you. I just thank you for your word, and God, those that have come and said, God, give us direction, give us insight, give us our purpose, our piece of the puzzle. And so, God, we pray over that. We pray that anything we ever do or say never be about us, but always be focused on you. We pray that your Spirit would continue to guide and direct us. And God, I just pray that you would be with us and go before us as we begin to look at what it looks like to engulf this community with the love of Christ through loving you, through growing together, and through serving those around us. Amen.